Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Today, I just want to build on the last thought. Last week, we ended summer barbecue with going after the spirit of compromise. And we talked about the difference between serving God and serving God Satan's way. How many remember that? If you missed that, go online and go over to our podcast and listen to that. Because I believe there's a lot of Christians in this day and age that have made a deal with Satan about how they're going to serve God. And we look at that in the book of Exodus. When God gave Moses a word to go and get the people out of Egypt, Pharaoh didn't want to let him go. And we know that the Israelites are a type and shadow of you and I, of the Church of Jesus Christ. And Pharaoh is a type and shadow of Satan in our everyday lives. And I believe he says the same thing to you and I. He doesn't want to let us go. Can I get an amen on that? He wants to keep you bound to alcoholism and weed and your old ways and pornography. And he wants to keep you thinking like a slave. But God wants us to leave Egypt and come into our promise, or the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where our dreams and we can be blessed, and all the things that he has for us, we can receive. So in that story in Exodus, Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's response to him is much like Satan's response to you. He says, hey, listen, you can worship God, just don't go too far. Or he says, you can go to church, just don't change. And there's so many Christians that have made that deal with Satan. And I call that serving God Satan's way. Satan doesn't get to dictate how I serve God. I don't get to dictate how I serve God. There's one thing that tells us how to serve God, and it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's where we understand how we're supposed to serve God. Because if it was up to you and I on how we serve God, I would say, yeah, I go to church every day, except when the Raiders are playing. How many know what I'm talking about? And that would be an acceptable sacrifice for me. You know, some of you Niner fans are saying, now that's terrible. Ugh, I'd rather be in church than watch a Raider game. Good. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've been pastoring a long time. And there's some people, once football season starts, we don't see them at church. And most of them are Niner fans. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's true. Actually, it's not true. It's usually the Raider fans that are, sorry about that. I can't lie in church. It's usually the Raider fans that want to miss. But see, if it was up to me, I could make up an acceptable way to serve God. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's not up to Satan. But yet some people have listened to that spirit of compromise, and they have a service unto the Lord that doesn't look anything like the Bible. It's like we said, Moses goes and says, let my people go so that we can go worship God. And Pharaoh says this, hey, just worship God here. Just worship God here. And that sounded good. I'm sure for a second, Moses said, you know, that's not a bad idea because we can worship God and da-da-da. But you know what? He goes, nope, that is not what God has told us to do. God has instructed us to leave Egypt and worship him at the mountain where he instructed them. So Moses didn't compromise, and I'm trying my best to be a pastor here that won't compromise with you. Can I get an amen on that? Are you happy about that today? Or do you want me to compromise and just kind of be comfort Christian center? Come on, somebody, amen. We can do that. We can just make it to where, you know, it's okay to live like you want, just go to church. That's how Pharaoh was saying, hey, I don't mind if you worship God, just do it here. Moses said, no, we ain't doing that. Because we're not going to serve God your way, Satan. So last week, I revealed these three things, and I actually got some messages in my DMs from people that said, hey, Pastor, could you tell me what serving, submitting, and sacrifice really looks like? And so I want to talk about that a little bit today, because serving, submitting, and sacrificing are the three things in your life that I said last week that are signifiers that you're doing this thing right, okay? That you're serving God, that you're truly serving God the way the Bible talks to us about doing, because we cannot get away from those three things: serving, submitting, and sacrificing. Now, let me break it down to you like this. Jesus talks about in Matthew 16:19, and today we don't have them on the screen, so I want to encourage you to take some notes, because I want you to look these scriptures up on your own. Don't just take my word for it. I'm not giving you the doctrine of PSL or the doctrine of Elevate Life Church. I'm just reading the Bible to you. And it's important that you familiarize yourself with the Bible, because my words can't change your life, but the scriptures can. And the Holy Spirit can bring the scriptures up to speak to you about these things so they can get in your heart. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many of you, when you got saved, got some keys in your hand when you prayed that prayer? Anybody? Some of you did. My God, really? I didn't get none. Show them to me. Amen? Because I didn't get none, and you didn't get none either. I know what you're saying. You said amen figuratively. But none of us got some keys in our hands. Oh, my gosh, I got the keys right here. That would be pretty awesome if we did. What is Jesus talking about? The keys that he's talking about are these nuggets, this knowledge, this information, these keys that are going to cause heaven to come into your life. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys. What kind of keys was he talking about? The keys he was talking about was his word. Nuggets of truth, nuggets of wisdom. So can I release some of these keys into your hands today? Only these guys want them. Can I release some keys to some people over here? Because y'all really need the keys. Amen. Some on this section. Over. No, I'm just joking. We need these keys. Why? Because Jesus said with these keys that he gives to us, whatever I pray, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's giving us keys to unlock the spiritual realm in our lives. He's given us keys to unlock promotion, success, joy, happiness. A good marriage. I said a good marriage. There you go. I said a good family. All these things. You know how we're going to be able to get heaven's blessing into our lives? Through the keys. You know how most Christians are trying to get these blessings into their lives? Through the grind. Through the hustle. Through striving. Through, you know, kissing somebody's butt at work. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Through stepping on somebody else, through climbing the corporate ladder. But the Bible says, I'm going to give you keys, and these keys will unlock what's in heaven and release it in honor. How many want some of those keys? Take some notes today, because we're going to release some of those keys. Now, John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3 says something powerful here. It says, this man came to Jesus, John 3, 2 and 3, says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. And Jesus answers and says to him, ready? He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come this morning and open our eyes to the kingdom of God. Help us to see what you want us to see, Lord God, and help us to receive the keys that you want us to receive to unlock the blessings and the very life that you've called us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Jesus makes a profound statement, and he says this, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, most of us hear that scripture and we interpret it as if it's saying, unless one is born again, he will not get to heaven. Heaven is only one aspect of the kingdom of God. And it is true that unless you give your life to Jesus Christ and be born again, you will not make it to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you're real nice. It doesn't matter if you're sorry for all the stuff you did. Unless you've been born again, you will not make it to heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. But listen, this verse has layers to it. Because what Jesus is talking about here, that unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. If you've been here any length of time, you know as we've studied what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God basically means this. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. That's why Jesus, when he taught, he said, the kingdom of God is like a field. The kingdom of God is like a servant. The kingdom of God is like this. He was trying to tell you, hey guys, this is how heaven works. These are the rules of heaven. This is how I do things. So when Jesus says here, unless a man has been born again, what he's saying is he cannot see how I do things. I wish I could get a church full of folks that could understand how God does things. Because if we can understand how God does things, we can have the keys to unlock what the world is trying to get. And let's not get it twisted. We're all trying to get something. The problem is, now that you're saved, we need to learn how to get those things God's ways. And that's the kingdom of God. Amen? Because how many know there's a way to get a man? You could do it the world's way. Got real quiet in this Baptist church all of a sudden. There's a way to get a man in the world. Get on an Instagram account. Make yourself look all cute. I'll stop right there. I was going to say some stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Post provocative pictures, and dudes will hit you up in the DM. Not even dudes, dogs will hit you up in the DMs. You keep putting out that dog food, you're going to get some dogs coming around. I feel a brick spirit coming at me in the back there. But there's a way you can get a man that's godly. It's a kingdom way. Right? Because there's a way you can get a woman, the world's way, right? Flash some dollars, buy her stuff. Christian women say, hey, we like that too. We like that too. Don't take that away. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a way you can get a woman the world's way. There's a way you can get a woman God's way. You know, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? But Proverbs also says a good woman is hard to find. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me, y'all. Don't get mad at me. They're hard to find. Hard to find. Some of you have been, man, I can't find a good woman. Then you're doing the right thing because they ain't everywhere. They ain't everywhere. It should be hard for you to find that woman you want to marry. There's women everywhere. But good women are hard to find. I'm just quoting the Bible to y'all. You're looking at me all mad. I'm not talking about nobody here anyway. Y'all are good women. Amen? Got good women here. I think. Amen. No, I was just joking. So Jesus says it like this. So you can't even see the way God does things until you get saved. If you're really saved. Because there's church people that still can't see the kingdom. So you still do things the world's way. Right? But if you really get saved, you'll be like, oh, okay, God doesn't want me to have sex with anybody that's not my wife. And I see why. See, you can't see that until you're really a Christian. You're just like, what's the big deal? Ain't no, you know, it's 2022. Everybody's sleeping around. The average single has sex on the third date. How many know you ain't average? Come on, somebody, amen. That's the average right there, amen. But see, Christians live like this. Some of us in this room live like this because you can't see. What's the big deal? See, you can't see it. But when I got saved, oh, I saw it. I got to stop living like this. It's doing damage to my soul. I'll never get to my destiny living like that. See, I could see it when I got saved, and I wanted to see it. But some people that ain't really serving God, they can't see it. Like, I still don't understand how somebody can be a Christian and not tithe. I for the life of me, that's the most frustrated thing, because I'm like, how you go to church 5 years and you don't trust God with the tithe? But you know what it is? You can't see the kingdom. Yeah, but I've been going to church. Doesn't mean you're born again. Doesn't mean you're born again. Going to church don't make you born again. A changed heart makes you born again. Repentance makes you born again. Come on. And when you're born again, you see it. Dang, I need to give. Man, I need to serve. I need to get up under authority. I need to do all these things. And so for some of us today, it's a little wake-up call. Because if you can't see it, you're not pressing in yet. If you can't see it, maybe God hasn't done a work in your heart yet. Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So he says you can't see it, but when you do get saved, I'm going to give you the keys. So one of the keys that Jesus gives us, we're going to spend a little bit of time in the time I have left in breaking down these three words, because these are keys that are going to unlock success, they're going to unlock greatness, they're going to unlock authority and power in your life if you apply these keys. All right? Is anybody interested in those things? The whole world is trying to chase success. Right? The whole world, I mean, we've made success our God. But the kind of success that I'm talking to us about is true success. And true success is obeying God. True success is to be able to face Jesus one day and him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do. So the keys that God is giving, the first one that we're talking about is serving. Serving, all right? Serving is something that Jesus asks us all to do. A Christian that doesn't serve is like a dog that doesn't bark, a fish that can't swim, come on, a bird that doesn't sing. All right, it don't make sense. It's an oxymoron. This is what we do. It's supposed to be something of what we do. But the world has taught us it is better to be served than to serve. So we come and we go to church and we start serving God, and we have to unlearn what the world has taught us, right? We've got to unlearn that. Because Jesus is teaching us a higher way. And when Jesus instructs us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, write that down. Matthew 23, verse 11, he says, the greatest among you is a servant. He's telling his sons and daughters, from a position of being a loving father, hey kids, you want to be great someday? Learn to serve. Be a servant. Serving can take you from the bottom to the top. But you're not going to get to the top doing it the world's way. In the kingdom, Jesus wants to do it for you, but yet we don't want to give up that control. We want to stay in control on the road to success. So in case you haven't noticed, the road to success is littered with bodies. People trying to get successful, and it costs them their marriage, costs them their family, costs them their kids, costs them their health, all to get successful. Jesus says, you don't have to do it that way. Instead, let me exalt you. You say, well, how do we do that, Jesus? He says, serve. But I don't like to serve. Learn to serve. Can I get an amen on that? So he breaks it down in Matthew chapter 23, 1 through 13. Read that on your own time, Matthew 23, 1 through 13. And Jesus is asked, you know, he's talking to, it says here, then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples. That's an interesting sentence right there, right? Because he differentiates two groups of people. He speaks to the multitude and he speaks to his disciples. He differentiates because there's a difference, my friend. There's a difference between being a disciple and just somebody in the crowd. But he goes on and he says, hey, he's talking about the Pharisees. He's saying, guys, do what they say, but don't do what they do. And he's making a differential and he says, don't be like them. And he goes on to say, they do all their works to be seen by men. They make phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Listen to this. He says, they love the best places at the feast and the best seats in the synagogue, and they like the greetings in the marketplace. He's basically saying they love being in charge. They love to be seen. He says, don't be like them. And then he says this, do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be the servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. So you know what he's basically saying? South Sac translation. Y'all ready for this? Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Tell your neighbor, quit trying to be in charge and serve. Tell him. Y'all need to know something about truth. Truth works everywhere. I've had people tell me, oh, that's good in the church, but, you know, in the business world, that don't really work. Yeah, it does. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. That phrase can change everything for you. You get in a new relationship. Got you a boyfriend now. Hey. Can I tell you how to keep him? Y'all ready? Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Got you a new woman. We'll get into that. Got you a new woman, but you want to be in charge. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Oh, you married now. Praise God, you found the one. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Got a new job. You there 2 days. You trying to take over the place. Well, at my old job, we did it like this. And, you know, I quit trying to be in charge and serve. And you'll be great. You'll be great. It's a key that unlocks heaven in our lives to bring, you know what it brings? Greatness. Greatness. You want to make your marriage great? Let me talk to the men real quick. Kingsmen, we got a meeting in a couple weeks. I better see all these men up in there. We're going to make men out of you. Come on, somebody. Men of God out of you. Come on. I don't care if there's a game on. I don't care if the Niners are playing the Raiders. You come. Because we got so many men trying to lead their homes by being in charge. I'm the man. I'm going to sit in this lounge chair. And I'm going to tell everybody what to do. And I'm going to make the decisions for my wife. I'm going to make the decisions for my family. And I'm in charge. Come on, I just described a bunch of Mexican homes up in here right now. I go to work, I bring home the check, and I call the shots. Y'all ready? Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Why is it the only scripture that men know is, wives, submit to your husbands? You ever been in an argument with your husband? He pulled that one out. Just tell him this. Hey, give me another scripture just so I know that you know more of the Bible. And they'll be like, until you can quote five other scriptures, don't give me that one. See, it'll transform your marriage, men, if we quit trying to be in charge and serve. How about the women? Come on, mama bears. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Listen, I'm all about a strong woman. I married a strong woman. Come on. Some of you strong women, you've had to be strong, right? You had to be strong. Your strength carried you through some tough times in life. Some of you women raised yourself and your kid and your siblings. How many know? Anybody like that in here? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You had to take care of the little babies that weren't even yours. Strong. You had to rise up. But guess what? Now you're saved. And you get in a relationship or you get married. Jesus is trying to tell you there's another way. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. So we've got two types of people in a marriage, and here's the problem in a marriage. Everybody's trying to be in charge. Got the men trying to be in charge of the women because the Bible says you need to submit. And you got the women over here going, but yeah, but that verse don't work for you because you're a dumb husband. And that he not expecting me to submit to you, you know. And so I got to be in charge. You laugh, but I've heard that in counseling before. Pastor, he's just dumb. How could I submit to him, you know? And you know what it all comes down to, folks, is we don't understand what serving is. Let me give you some things so we can reprogram our brains about serving and we could understand that it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Write this down. Serving is a posture of humility. It's a posture of humility. Basically, what that means is when I serve, I exercise humility. I give off humility. It's very hard to be proud and serve. It's possible, but it's very hard. When I'm serving somebody, I'm humbling myself. Now, why is that important? Let me tell you why. Because the Bible tells me this. God gives grace to the humble. What is grace? Grace means I've been given a divine enablement. What I could not do before, when God gives me the grace, I can do it. Right? Fellas, let me help you today. We need grace to be married to women. To be married to women. Amen? I think you said a man. No, a woman. He said amen. It threw me off a little bit. I was like, and let me explain why we do, right? Because some of us are married to a woman that is smarter than you. Okay, all right. Most of us. All right. All of us. Have married a woman that's smarter than us. And the women said, amen. Women feel things we can't feel. Women sense things we can't sense. Women have a greater capacity for pain. Listen, in a perfect world, when Adam was walking around, God said, something ain't right. It needs a woman. Don't be afraid to elevate her. Don't be afraid to serve her. Now, here's why we need humility to be married, right? Because we need grace, the divine ability to lead somebody smarter than us. I could see some of that. She ain't smarter than me, shoot. You're exactly who I was talking about. Because you can't see that she's smarter than you. If you was really smart, you'd be like, true, pastor's true. She got me, she got me. So we need humility to get the grace. How do we get the grace? We serve our wives. We don't make our wives submit. We serve them into submission. Then they can't help but submit. They can't help it. They just like. We're so good to them. They're like, yes, daddy, what you want? What you need? What you want? Here we go. Ladies, am I lying? Ladies, am I lying? They tell you. They'll tell you. Look what else humility does through serving. Ready? Look what the other thing that God does through humility is this. He exalts you. He exalts you. So when I serve my wife and my kids, God exalts me. See, too many of you trying to get your wife to listen to you. She ain't ever going to listen to you. But when God exalts you, she's going to have to listen to you because God won't let her sleep when she ain't listening to you. God will keep her up at night. You know he's right. You know you shouldn't be doing. You know he's right. She's laying there trying to be all angry and sleep. Because God will have your back. God will have your back. So you serve your wife, God will exalt you in your marriage. And you ain't got to walk around quoting, you know, that one scripture you know. Ladies, submit to your husband. No, you ain't got, I don't ever bring that up. Don't need to. You see, serving unlocks greatness. But it's not just for the men. It's for the women. But you're going to have to give up some control. You're going to have to humble yourself. Well, you know, pastor, I just don't want to be walked on and don't want to be stepped on. See, that's always the mindset of somebody in pride. Well, if I do that, pastor, she's just going to take advantage of me. See, you ain't thinking about this right. God ain't going to let that happen. Because God's an exalter of those that are humble. See, if you're always worried about being walked on, you're not trusting God. He ain't going to let that happen. When you're standing out and going, okay, God, I'm going to do things your ways, God goes, okay, cool, then I got your back. Whenever you're protecting yourself, you don't need God to protect you. Whenever you go, okay, God, I'm going in, you got me, God says, I got you. I'm not worried about her taking advantage of me. He goes, nope, because I ain't going to let her. And you can go forward. You can do that. Ladies, you can serve your man. See, we want a better marriage, but everybody's trying to be in charge. I'm going to say it again because I want this tattooed in your brain. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Amen? Amen? That's for the women. That's for the men. Take that mentality to work. You only been on the job a little bit. You trying to be in charge. Trying to tell the supervisor how to do their job. Trying to tell them, no, we don't need it. Hey, listen, just serve. Serve. You walk by the break room and it's a mess, clean it up. And don't tell nobody you did it. Because some of y'all will clean it up and then walk by. Hey, boss, I'm just letting you know I cleaned up. It was a mess. It was a mess. I just want to let you know I did it. Don't do that. Just clean it up, let nobody know, and look towards heaven and go, God, you got me. You got me. See, the key of serving, remember, it unlocks promotion. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant. We're so used to making ourselves great, we don't know how to let God make us great. Any area you want to walk into, on your job, in relationships, in the church, serve. Serving makes you great. Let me give you a few more things about serving, and I'll let you go in a minute. Serving in God's house is an expression that Jesus is your Lord. Why do we serve the house of God like we do? Because the church is his bride. Amen. And he's our Lord. You could tell whose you are by who you serve. And too many times we make church about serving comfort. The average church in America, 10% of the people do 100% of the work. That's got to change. Tell your neighbor, not here, it ain't. Not ain't. That ain't the stat here. Because you can't love Jesus and not serve him. Just like you can't love your wife and not serve her. You can't love your husband and not serve him. Learn to cook. That's a word for somebody right there. Came out of my spirit right there. Cook him a meal. Serve him. It's okay to clean up after him. I ain't cleaning up after no man. Stay alone then. Praise God. Stay alone then. Let me know how that works. Serving. Serve. And the same thing is when we come to church, we got to find a place to serve. We got to serve God. It's what we do. Then write this down. Serving makes you great. We talked about that. Serving disciplines the flesh. Why don't people serve? You want to know what the number one reason is? You ready for this? They don't want to. Deep, ain't it? No, it's not deep. Simple. Want to know why people don't serve at church? They don't want to. You want to know why people do serve? They submit their will. The last thing, serving blesses others. Come on, some parents are in here today because we've got children's workers serving in children's minister today, in ministry today. They're able to hear the word today, and their kids are getting ministered to because somebody is serving in children's ministry. We're able to be in here today and feel safe because we got some ushers that will put you in a chokehold if you try to get up and disrupt something. Come on, we're able to park our cars in South Sacramento today for an hour and a half and not be worried because we got some security guys out there serving today. Serving blesses other people, amen? Why would you not want to bless other people? Now let's move on to the last two in the next 10 minutes. That's all I got left with you. The second thing is serve. The first thing is serve. The second thing is to submit. We got to take that word back. Submission is not a bad word. The world wants you to think, submit? You know, there's so many women. There's been this whole thing of women trying to take that out of the marriage vows. Because if they think, oh, it's a bad thing. I don't want to submit to no man. I'm not submitting to nobody. See, you sound so ignorant right now because you don't know what that word means. You've been lied to by the culture that says submission is bad when submission to the right thing is healthy. It's good. It protects you. It blesses you. Come on, somebody. Amen. We got to take that back. So we got a culture, right? Don't nobody want to submit to nobody. I don't need to listen to you. You ain't my daddy. You ever heard that? No, forget that. You ever said that? Yeah, you ain't my daddy. I ain't got to listen to you. Don't ever say that. And teach your kids not to talk like that because the people that say that learn that from somebody. I ain't got to listen to you. Shoot. Who do you think he is? No, learn to listen to folks. I feel bad for our ushers sometimes. I've said this before because I get reports back. You know, a pastor, you know, they get mad when we tell them not to sit over there. Really? You come to church and get mad at an usher because he don't want you sitting over there? I sit where I want to sit. I bet half the time it's alone then because ain't nobody want to be around that. But see, we got people, right? They don't like nobody telling them what to do, nobody giving them instruction. They don't want to hear it because they think submission is bad. Right? It's not. It's good. Let me prove it to you. James chapter 4, 6 and 7. Write these things down. James 4, 6 and 7 says it like this. He gives grace, therefore he says. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We already talked about that. The next part is what I want you to hear. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We got a whole lot of Christians trying to resist the devil without submitting to God. And it does not work. This is why you can't kick that porn addiction. This is why you can't quit creeping at night. This is why you can't get out the club. This is why you can't stop smoking weed. This is why pornography still has you. And you'd be like, Pastor, I'm trying. I'll be resisting. Hey, you're missing a big part of resisting. Because before it says resist the devil and he will flee, it says submit to God. And people don't want to do that. Because you want to know what submission says? You want to know what submission sounds like? It sounds like the word no. That's what submission sounds like. Come on. You just went out on a nice date, had a nice dinner, and she says, you want to come on up and have a drink with me? Your flesh is saying, yes, I do want to go up there. But then you remember what the word says. You remember the word instructs us not to sleep with anybody that's not our wife, to flee fornication. No, it says flee from it. You understand that? Yeah, that means run from it. So even though she's saying, hey, you want to come up? You throw her, you hit her with the, nah, I'm cool. I got to get going. Your flesh wants to, but you make a decision to submit in that moment. Nah, I got to get going. I got to get home. I'll see you later. And she may huff and puff and be all mad and tell all her friends you're gay because you wouldn't come up. But you know what you just did? You submitted to God's word. You chose God's word over your flesh. And guess what comes with that? You ready? Authority. Authority. Because I said no, I submitted to God. I could go in my prayer closet and say, God, I come against the devil in my kid's life, and the devil got to come off of him. I speak against this cancer. Cancer got to leave you because you're submitted. God, I need that promotion. The promotion comes. Because when you're submitted, authority is there. That's why I don't get these churches where people just live crazy. And I even talking about the people. I'm talking about the pastors. I don't have the luxury to just go and be crazy and be creeping and doing stuff that y'all don't know about. Because if I do that, I have zero authority when I get up here. Nothing that God wants to do, I can't access. But if I submit myself and I live right according to his word, and when I pray, things are going to happen. When I lay hands on you, people are going to get healed. See, I want that, and you should too. But guess how it comes? Submission. Submission. See, you're going to have to resist your old addictions. Some of you that came out of addiction, out of problems with drugs or alcohol. But see, it's the submitting to God that gives your prayer authority to resist the devil and he'll flee. Most Christians just trying to resist the devil and so he don't ever leave. And so they live in cycles. No porn for a week, no porn for 2 weeks, no porn for 3 weeks. Oh, and then the fourth week hits and I'm back on them websites. I'm good. I ain't smoked weed in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But then that cycle hits and you're back in there. I'm not depressed. I'm doing good. I don't have to take that medication. I'm all good. And then boom. Because you're trying to resist without submission. Teenagers, man. Y'all gotta start thinking on your own. Mommy and daddy can't be everywhere. They can't be everywhere. They can't be it when you say, hey, Mom, I'm going to go watch the game. And they go, okay, Johnny, be good, okay? Okay. And you're watching the game in your homie's backyard, and they bust out the weed. Oh, hey, guys, I got this from my cousin. He just got back from Mexico. Check this out. First guy takes a puff. Second guy takes a puff. It's coming by you. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you look around. Everybody's doing it. You're trying to resist. But you ain't submitted. And so it comes by, what do you start doing? You start puffing too. Then they bust out the gummies. See, y'all didn't know I knew about the gummies. See, some of y'all, I got your attention with that because y'all thought you was getting over on us right there. Now, we know about the gummies. And they start bringing out the gummies and you're just like, dang, I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't. See, that's the opportunity to submit to God's word. When they pass it, pass it on by you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Pass that Dutchie on the left-hand side. Pass me. Get it away from me. Nah, I'm good, guys. Nah, I'm good. Nah. Hey, come on. Just take a hit. Nah, I'm good. They start hitting you with, oh, you soft. You a square bear. You just go, nope, I'm submitted to God. Ooh, high top, oh, shaka. Ain't no high like the most high. Hey, ha, ha. Listen, that's submission to God. That's submission to God. Ladies, when he takes you out and he says, come over, you're going to come over after, and you say no. That's submission to God. Because you want to. You know you want to, ladies. You know you want to. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. You want to. Can we just be real up in church today? You know you want to. But you know what you do? Nah, man. Not going to happen. I submit to God. See, it ain't worth your prayers being hindered. It ain't worth Satan now having free entrance to run around your house because you got no authority to stop him. And so Satan be lying to us, right? Oh, just go ahead and do it. There's grace. There's grace. God will cover you. You can ask forgiveness. There's grace. You could be forgiven, but you're not under authority anymore. And so Satan can come over and have dinner with you, and you won't be able to get him out your house. He'd be at the table with you. These tacos are nasty. You can't even cook, but I'm going to stay here. And you'd be like, get out of my house, devil. He'd be like, no. See, that's the difference in having authority and not having authority. Submission to God. Oh, but people, it gets even stronger, because in order to submit to God, guess what? You got to submit to people. And some of you ain't submitted to nobody since you're a third grade teacher. And even her, you don't even get me started. I'm reading somebody's mail. That was the last time you submitted to a human being. You argue with everybody. You and your mom ain't got a good relationship. You and your dad ain't got a good relationship. Your bosses can't stand you. You've been to 5 churches because you and your pastors don't get along. Listen, if you're going to submit to God, you got to submit to people. Submit to authority. We know Romans chapter 13. Write that down. Read it. It says every person must submit and support the authorities over him. So remember, submission brings authority, right? So when you get a new job, listen to your boss. Ah, but she got attitude. Don't matter. She's the boss. Submit to her. Yeah, I can't stand her though. Pastor, she ain't saved. She ain't gotta be. Submit to her. You know what the word basically submit means? Y'all ready? Listen. Listen. Listen to him. Submit to your boss. Listen to him. They said to sweep it that way, sweep that way. But I like sweeping it this way. I think it's better. What did they say? They want it that way. Then do that. Well, I think my way is better. It don't matter. Quit trying to be in charge and serve. Are you guys catching this? Because it's so basic, but if you get it, it can unlock heaven for you. Submit. The Bible talks about it in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, 17. Says, submit to your spiritual leaders. Romans 13 says, submit to your bosses. Submit to those in authority. Submit. It all comes down to quit trying to be in charge and serve and submit. Are you catching this today? So let me give you these things. Submission gives you authority. Submission strengthens your identity. And here's the biggest thing. Y'all ready for this? Submission brings promotion. It brings promotion. But don't nobody want to submit? What do they say? Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Come on, somebody. Everybody trying to be in charge. Everybody wants to be the one telling everybody else what to do. Listen, get rid of that. In the kingdom, the pathway to greatness is serve, submit. And the last one, Pastor Eddie, if you would come and help me on the keys. The last one is sacrifice. Guys, I got to tell you this. I got to be honest with you. We've gone so far in America, we're not making disciples anymore. Because in America today, what the average Christian is looking for is comfort. And Christianity is not comfortable, baby. It's not. I like to say it right like this. If it ain't hurting, you ain't doing it right. Come on. If it ain't hurting, you ain't doing it right. It's going to be a little uncomfortable being a Christian. Amen? We've made Christianity so comfortable. The average church gets in and out in 60 minutes. Average preacher preaches 30 minutes. Nobody gets prayed on at the altar. The average church, 10% of the people do 100% of the work, which means 90% of Christian Christ goers at church don't serve their own church. Only 20% of Christians even tithe. Not here, though. We got way higher standards because we ain't average. Come on, tell your neighbor, I ain't average. But that's what everybody's looking for. You know what they're looking for? Comfort Christian Center. We want TED Talks instead of sermons. Don't preach to me. No, listen, the Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that man is saved. We can't get rid of that. And we can't stop worshiping God. Oh, people, churches have even thrown out the Holy Spirit because praying in tongues makes people nervous. It should. No, I'm just joking. It's a little uncomfortable. But why is it like that? Because Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, please read that chapter on your own time. Do your own research. Jesus breaks it down and he says this, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Cannot. But I want to. You can't. Please, you can't unless you're willing to take up your cross and come after me. Luke 14, 31 and 33 says it like this. Whoever does not forsake all that he has can't be my disciple. Please, can I? I want to so bad. What if I just forsake half of it? Can't do it. What if I do a little bit of it? Can't do it. Guys, what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to sacrifice. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to sacrifice. Remember, Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. Do what I do. Jesus suffered a little bit. That's an understatement. Jesus died to some things. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do. See, that was submission. Jesus served. He left the throne to be amongst normal human beings. That's serving. That's submitting. And of course, ultimately, he sacrificed his very life. Now Jesus says, okay, guys, do what I do. That's what it looks like. Do what I do. And then he says this, and greater works will you do than me. Greater works. So teenagers, you can resist drugs. You can resist weed. Oh, but everybody's doing it. Everybody, oh, man. Can't even talk. Look at you. Already jacked up on it. Oh, listen, I'm being real because teenagers, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I got teenagers myself. Some of you playing games like it ain't no big thing. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Are you going to serve Jesus or not? You have to go all the way in. Parents, you have to go all the way in. Serving, submitting, and sacrifice. Tell both your neighbors right now, quit trying to be in charge and serve. Tell them both. I know it's your wife. Tell her anyway. Tell her anyway. Guys, those three things will bring success in any arena that you're in. The business arena, family arena, spiritual arena.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.